minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire.
Lights out, everybody.
The creaking door.
Dimension X.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
X minus one.
Dark. Fantasy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Horror, brought to you by Duane Old Time Radio. Sci-Fi and Horror features some of the best programs from the golden age of radio, including X-1, Orbiter X, Dimension X, Slot X's, Lights Out, Ray Bradbury, Dark Fantasy, and many, many more. Before we start today's sci-fi and horror thriller, if you enjoy what I'm doing, let me ask you to subscribe to my channel. Subscribing is 100% free, and you will receive notifications on new posts. December is here, the last of the year, the last month of the year. We're going to start December with Twilight Zone, hosted by the actor Stacy Keach. Two stories from Twilight Zone. The First Fathom Grave, and then we have The Man in the Bottle. And it's hard to find exact dates for these episodes, but the Twilight Zone radio series aired on BBC Radio from 2002 to 2012.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
All right, men, we've got clear skies and a calm sea. Now let's get this ship back on course.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smith. What is your present course and speed?
Steaming on course 26 degrees true. Speed 10 knots, sir.
Very well. Come right to new course 270 and indicate turns for 15 knots.
Aye, aye, sir. Helmsman, come right to new course 270.
Aye, sir. Coming right to new course 270.
All engines ahead standard. Indicate 126 turns for 15 knots.
Aye, sir. Engine room. All engines ahead, standard 126 turns for 15 knots. Engine room answers. All engines ahead, standard 126 turns for 15 knots, sir.
All secure, Captain.
Glad to hear it, Ensign. Any damage?
No, sir. We took in a lot of water in the storm, though. That was one heck of a swell back there.
I'm aware of the storm, Mr. Marmer. I'm also aware of the swell. And what I'm also aware of is that that boat was not properly hoisted. A 13-year-old Sea Scout would have rigged it in a stored position.
Right, sir.
You can tell the chief bosun's mate that I want to see him in my quarters, on the double.
Aye, aye, sir.
Chief bosun's mate Bell reporting his order, sir.
At ease, chief. That shouldn't be too difficult for you, should it?
Sir?
That state of being at ease. You're the champion of the fleet when it comes to being at ease, Bell.
I don't understand, sir.
The devil you don't. This couldn't be clearer to you if it came in diagrams. You are the chief bosun's mate on board this ship. You run the deck division, you handle the rigging in and out, you supervise the heavy equipment, and there are 8 or 10 other cardinal duties you are responsible for. Not the least of which, chief bosun's mate, Bell, is the proper securing of the whale boat. Now, last night we had a bad swell, and that boat should have been rigged in. Instead, it was left swung out, and as a result, she's 80% damaged and filled up like a swimming pool. Question, Chief. Where were you
begging the captain's pardon.
Don't beg my pardon. Just tell me, in a brief explanatory way, why you couldn't handle the initiatives of a chief bosun's mate, and why the efficiency of this ship has had to suffer as a result. We had 9 hours' notice of that storm, Bell. This ship should have been 100% prepared. It wasn't, and I want to know why.
I did all I could, sir. I haven't been feeling up to par.
Did you report to sick bay?
No, sir.
Speak up, Chief.
No, sir, I didn't report to sick bay.
Well, Chief, I'm not in the business to pistol whip my crew. I want a tight ship, that's true, but I happen to care very much if any one of my sailors has a problem and can't function because of it. You've rated 4-0 all the way down the line for as long as you've served on this ship. And then suddenly, in the past 3 days, you stowed all your seamanship in a trunk someplace and came up with a bunch of dumbhead boners that I would expect from a 17-year-old boot. Bell, what is the problem? There is a problem, huh?
No problems, sir. I'll watch it in the future.
All right, Chief. We'll leave it that way, then. If you want to bend my ear at any time, you know where my cabin is. I'm available. Keep that in mind.
Yes, sir. I will, sir.
All right, then. That'll do it.
Aye, aye, sir.
Chief? Hey, Chief, are you all right?
What?
You okay, Chief? You looked a little woozy there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay.
What am I listening to?
Sir, contact bearing 280, 1100 yards, echo quality sharp. Evaluate as possible submarine.
Submarine?
But not moving, sir. Dead in the water.
Shift the control to listen.
Sounds like hammering or something, sir.
Bridge sonar.
Bridge eye.
We have contact, bearing 030 degrees true. Range 1100 yards.
Appears to be a metal object.
What kind of object, sonar?
We can't tell, sir. From the sound of it, it's some kind of small ship, perhaps a subhull.
Bridge eye. Sonar reports a contact, Captain. Evaluation is a possible submarine.
A possible what? Stay on course. I'm going down to the sonar shack.
Incident 100 miles off the coast of Guadalcanal. Time 1963. A United States naval destroyer on what has been a most uneventful cruise, except for a few tense moments with a storm front. Nothing unusual. But in a moment, they're going to send a man down 30 fathoms and check on a noisemaker. Someone or something tapping on cold steel. You may or may not have read the results in a naval report, because Captain Beecham and his crew have just set a course that will lead this ship and everyone on it deep into the Twilight Zone.
And now, back to our story from the Twilight Zone, The 30-Fathom Grave, starring Blair Underwood, with Stacey Keach as your narrator.
That's it, huh?
That's the sound, sir.
How long have you been in contact?
About 3 minutes, sir.
That's a funny one. Sounds like tapping on metal, doesn't it?
That's what I think, sir.
Bridge, change course to 030 and reduce speed to 5 knots. Try to make contact by underwater telephone.
I've already tried, sir. I get no response.
Listen, it stopped now.
Just like that?
Sonar still has the contact, sir. I'll leave it on.
Stay on it. I'll be on the bridge.
Steady on course, 030. All engines ahead, 1/3. 50 RPMs for 5 knots, sir.
Maintain course and speed.
Anything in sight?
Nothing, sir.
We're directly over the object.
All right, all engines stop.
All engines stop.
Aye, sir. All engines stop. Engine room answers, sir. All engines stopped. Do you hear it, sir?
Wait, hold it. Hold it. I want dead quiet all over the ship. Tell those sailors on deck to can it.
Hey, Ain't that a kick in the head? What do you suppose it is?
Ghost, man. Ghost. What do you think it is, Chief?
I'm not sure.
I've never heard nothing like that before.
Stow it! Let's keep it quiet down there.
They want us to be quiet so they can listen to it. What I want to know is, listen to what?
Where are you going, Bell?
I don't feel so good.
You don't look so good either.
Make it stop. My head.
Easy, Bell. You'll fall overboard.
I said quiet out here. What's the problem?
We got a man down, sir.
What happened?
Nothing. Looks like he fainted.
We'll get him down to sick bay.
Yes, sir.
Where am I?
In the sick bay. You all right now, Bell?
Yes. I'm okay, Doc. What?
You blacked out up there.
I said I'm okay.
You better stay horizontal for a little while longer. I'm serious. Captain's orders.
I'll be all right.
I wouldn't doubt it, but right now you look like a Class A shipwreck.
We still stopped?
Still stopped. They're all curious as to what's making the noise.
That noise?
What's the trouble?
It's just such an odd feeling.
What kind of feeling?
I can't describe it.
Lie back down now.
What's the needle for?
Just relax, Chief. Get some sleep. This'll help.
Sure. Sure. That's all I need. A little sleep. Doc?
Yeah, Bell?
What do you suppose is down there?
Don't worry about it. You just go to sleep. Whatever it is, the captain will know what to do.
I want you to stay grafted to me, Lieutenant.
Sir?
Take notes on everything that happens from now on. I may turn in a report that'll stick me on a garbage tanker or even a naval hospital. I want 15 witnesses at my hearing who are on my side.
Could be a sub, and we could be hearing it. It's only about 30 fathoms.
Yeah, sure, it could be a sub, mister. That's probably what it is, but what about this sub? Has it got two arms and a fist? Because somebody's making noise down there. We have a diver on board?
Yes, sir.
What's his name?
McClure in the 1st Division. He's a qualified diver.
Tell him to report on the double. We'll send him down. Have him knock on the door.
I see. And then what, sir?
We'll see who invites him in.
McClure reporting, sir.
You're the diver?
Right, sir.
All right, I'm going to give it to you straight, McClure. Now, here's the picture. There's something down there. Directly below us.
Something, sir?
We don't know what it is yet, just that it's a metal object about the size of a sub hull. That's where you come in. I want you to get your equipment and go down there. Stay in contact from the moment you hit water to the moment you reach it, understood?
I understand.
Whatever that object is, there may be somebody inside, or at least something that's making the noise. When you get down there, I want you to listen closely and tell me what you hear. We may be getting it distorted.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Hop to it.
Aye, sir.
What we're hearing, it doesn't make any sense. It's crazy.
It is that, Lieutenant.
But if it isn't a sub, sir, what is it?
Maybe it's a Spanish galleon, Lieutenant, with a treasure chest and a loose lid that's off its hinges. Or maybe it's just our imagination.
Well, we'll sure find out. As soon as he suits up, they'll lower him down. And then we'll know.
Yeah, I sure hope so, Lieutenant. One way or another. I hope you're right.
Bridge, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. This is the captain. Keep talking.
Yes, sir.
What do you see, McClure?
It's a sub, sir. No question about that.
Have you reached her?
I'm standing right alongside, sir. I don't hear anything, though.
McClure?
Her bow is buried about 15 feet into the bottom. I, Can't read any identification. It's covered. Or rusted over.
On the side of the conning tower, McClure. Can you read a number there?
No, sir. There's damage. Number's been obliterated.
McClure, you hear that?
Yes, sir, I do. It's coming from midship. I'm moving toward there now.
Tap on the hull, McClure. See if you can get a response. Was that you, McClure?
Yes, sir. No response, sir. I don't hear anything anymore.
McClure, there should be three hatches on the bow, on the conning tower, and on the stern. Is the ship upright?
She's upright, sir. At about a 30-degree angle.
I understand, McClure. Climb up on her deck and check the hatches. See if you can open them.
The bow hatch is buried, sir. I can't get through to that. But wait a minute. I'll check on the one over the conning tower.
McClure, what's the condition?
The conning tower hatch is all bent, sir. I can't move the wheel. The whole deck appears to have been strafed. Wait a minute. Hatch on the stern the same way, sir. I can't turn her. Whoever she is, sir, she must have caught it.
Say again, McClure. She must have what?
Caught it, sir. The whole deck is pockmarked with shell damage. Machine gun damage, too.
Is that you, McClure?
No, sir. It's coming from inside the hull.
Answer it, McClure. Answer it right away.
This is crazy.
McClure, can you pinpoint the sound? Can you tell precisely where it's coming from?
I think it's... Wait a minute. Yes, sir. Directly midship, just below the tower.
Keep trying. We have to know whether anyone's inside that sub.
Now, back to the 30-fathom grave on The Twilight Zone.
No more contact, sir.
Stay on it for as long as you can, McClure. Come up when you're ready.
Aye, aye, sir.
Get the comm, officer. I want to send a message. Action of 7th Fleet, info to Sync Pack. Appraise them of the situation. Get on it.
Yes, sir. Radio bridge.
Radio I.
Captain wants a message. Action to comm 7th Fleet. Info Sync Pack Fleet. Have located sunken sub. Position latitude 09-30-00 south. Longitude 160-48-00 east. Request confirm location of all known sinkings this area. Will remain this area until further advised. Precedence operational immediate.
Aye, sir.
Any ideas, Captain?
An even dozen, but every one of them nullifies the one ahead of it. If it's one of our subs, we should have gotten a report on it. And even if it's somebody else's, why haven't they gone out the torpedo tubes?
That's what I was thinking, sir.
Which brings us down to another common denominator. That sub has been hit by shellfire. So, whatever action took place must have happened within a period of hours, or else there wouldn't be anyone still alive. But there's been no action. We'd have seen it, or heard it. Put them all together and they spell nothing. When McClure comes up, tell him to dry off and report to the sonar shack. That's where I'll be. How you doing, McClure?
Fine, sir. I could use some hot coffee.
Well, you can drink a gallon of it if you want. Just tell me. What did we find out?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either, Bosun. Just tell me what you do know.
There's somebody inside her. I'd lay odds on that. Three or four times when I pounded on the hull, that's when somebody answered me.
Well, what about the sub itself? Could you judge her length?
Well, I guess her to be about 300 feet, sir. Maybe 25 feet midship.
Sounds like one of ours.
She looks like one of ours.
There were ballast tanks and flooding ports on the underside.
She's moving, sir.
Now, that was the other thing, Captain. She wasn't stuck in tight. Deep, yes, but not tight. She seemed to be swaying.
You still cold, McClure?
I've been warmer, sir.
And you will be again, but right now you're going to get colder. I want you to check her bow. Maybe she's pulled herself loose and you can finally read that number.
Sonar, Bridge.
Go ahead, Bridge.
Comm 7th Fleet reports no sinkings of any kind. Authorizes us to remain on scene and operate at own discretion for salvage and rescue.
Roger.
Can do, McClure.
I'll do my best, sir.
Ah, look at it this way. What a dandy story you can tell your grandchildren on some dark, rainy night.
Are they going to believe me, sir?
I'm not sure I will, but if you can get me a number or a name off that hull, we may be able to sleep tonight after all.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for you, Mr. Smith.
What's that, sir?
If they're in there and alive and can't use the torpedo tubes, how do we get them out?
Bridge.
Go ahead, McClure. This is the captain.
She's pulled herself out, sir. Here's your number. 714.
714. Make a note of that, Lieutenant Smith.
Yes, sir.
Well, that means she's one of ours. Come on up and get a broiled steak on me, McClure. Smith, hand me the book with the hull numbers.
Here you are, sir.
Give me that number again.
714.
Here it is. 714. Commission, December 1941. Sunk in action, First Battle of the Solomons, August 7th, 1942.
But, Captain, that was 20 years ago.
Then, Lieutenant, tell me something. Who is inside that sub?
Coffee, sir?
Thanks, Marmer. Quiet night.
Too quiet. How long's it been now?
About 3 hours.
Is he sending McClure down again?
Beats me. All I know is there's a boiler tender second who's making book in the crew's quarters that the thing below us is a sea monster with three heads and we're all living on borrowed time.
I don't know what scares me more, when they pound or when they shut up.
I don't know what scares me more, a 20-year-old sub with somebody alive inside, or what the commander of the Pacific Fleet will say to me when I tell him that. And to compound the problem, I've got a chief bosun's mate with something eating at him.
Bell?
Bell.
What made him black out?
That's part of the problem.
Could be he's dredging up a couple of memories.
What do you mean, memories?
This is World War II revisited for him. He got picked up here after a sinking. That's the way I hear it. He was on a ship that got hit. Only survivor or something like that. Got picked up from the water.
Maybe it is dredging up some memories then.
Here we go again.
What's the matter? They can't make up their minds down there?
There's one more question. An important one.
What's that, Captain?
Who's they?
Hello, sir.
Doc?
How's it coming down there?
It's coming. How's your patient?
Asleep, sir. I was just going to get some chow.
Keep me posted. I'll be in my quarters.
Aye, sir. Bell! What happened?
I was looking in the mirror, and I saw faces. They were staring right at me. They were pointing at me. I know it sounds crazy, but they were there. It was as if I'd been pushed out of the mirror. Ordered out. That's why I had to break it, to make them stop! Doc?
Yeah, Chief.
Do you see me in the pieces of mirror down there on the floor?
Listen to me. I see you right here in front of me. I see you just fine. Remember that. Nobody is ordering you anywhere. You're not going anyplace. We're gonna lick this, Belle. I mean it. We're gonna lick this.
Same routine, huh?
Same thing, sir. But it's getting a little fainter, I think. And they don't acknowledge our signals at all. But it's definitely fainter.
It's some piece of equipment. That's what it is. Something loose that's probably swinging back and forth and hitting a bulkhead.
Possible.
That's the only explanation. I mean, well, think about it, Captain. A 20-year-old sub in the Deep Six since the war? Who could be down there?
Somebody who dies awfully hard. Whoever it is, whatever it is, it's running out of steam. I wouldn't make book on this, but I've got a hunch that if we don't get inside there, and I mean quick, we're going to miss the boat.
So we go down, and like you said, we knock on the door, but we've done that before.
No, we don't knock on the door this time. Now we kick the door open.
Begging the captain's pardon. You break in that way, and it's a sure bet the pressure will kill whatever's alive down there.
Right, so we do it the one other way we've got. I want you to send a message to Comm Sub Pack. Tell them we're going to need a submarine rescue ship out here. Give them position and depth and tell them to report to the scene for rescue attempt. Emergency precedence.
The airlock chamber?
No, that's all we've got left, and it's precious little. Get on it right away. I'll be on the bridge.
Radio, sonar.
Radio I.
To Comm Sub Pack. Emergency precedence. Request nearest ASR report to position. Latitude 09-30.
Doc?
Yeah.
You got a cigarette?
Sure, Belle. I'll do it. Your hands are shaking.
Thanks. Doc, will you answer me straight?
I'll try.
Who's outside?
What?
Who's out in the passageway?
Nobody's out there. Why? You think you hear something?
I don't know.
Why should anybody be out in the passageway? Nobody's posting guard on you.
I just felt as if there was somebody out there.
Now, there's nobody out there. Nobody at all. Who did you think it was?
I don't know.
The only thing out there is a long stretch of steel and deck. Nothing else. Come on, you want to take a look?
What's happening to me? Doc... What in God's name is happening?
Chief, you gotta get a grip. Or I swear, you're gonna talk yourself into a straitjacket. I mean it.
I got the feeling again. Just as if somebody was watching me. Pushing at me. Doc?
What, Belle?
I'm scared to open the door.
Then don't. I told you, there is nothing out there.
I'm scared to open it, but I have to. No!
What did you see?
Men!
What men?
All wet! Dripping wet and not alive! They were looking at me!
Listen, I didn't see a thing, Chief, and neither did you.
Oh.
Did you hear me? All you saw was what your scared brain told you to see.
Oh.
That's what it was, what you've talked yourself into. Now pull yourself together, sailor.
But I tell you, I saw it!
Then I'll prove it to you.
No!
See? Nothing, I told you. What the... Water on the floor. And where did that come from? Piece of seaweed.
How does it, McClure? Go down and try to get a response. It'll help that sub-rescue outfit if they can get a specific location.
How will they get in, sir?
Through the forward torpedo compartment or the stern. Then they'll have to blow each of the six other compartments before they can enter.
What if I don't get any answers, sir? We haven't heard from them in almost a half an hour.
If you don't get any answer, come back up. The rescue team will take it from there.
No survivors then, sir. Is that what it'll mean?
That's what it'll mean. They'll bring up bodies, not survivors. Okay, McClure, up to it.
Aye, sir.
I've reached the sub, sir. The next noise you hear, that'll be me.
Go ahead, McClure, pound away. Any response?
None, sir. No response anywhere.
Keep trying.
Yes, sir.
McClure?
Captain, I found something here. Wait a minute. I can't make it out.
What about the response? Did you hear anything?
No, sir. Nothing.
Give it a few more minutes.
Yes, sir.
No soap?
No soap. It really frosts me. Let's get so close to those poor devils and then... The sub-rescue ship is due here at 0300. Keep an eye peeled. I'm going aft to meet McClure.
Aye, sir.
I bet it feels good to get that helmet off.
Oh. Yeah, it sure does. It's so dark down there now. Without the light, I couldn't see a blasted thing. Real spooky. But I found this.
Yeah, thanks, McClure. Good job. Go get some chow. I'll need you one more time when the ASR team gets here. You're going to have to go down as a pathfinder. Give them any help they need. But that won't be for a while.
Excuse me, sir. But you better look at those tags.
You gotta be kidding me.
What's the matter, sir?
Ensign, ask Doc if Chief Bell is well enough to report to my quarters, because I need an explanation for this one. Fast. Go ahead, Bell. Read what it says on these dog tags.
I don't have to, sir. I know what it says.
It says Bell, William J. That's yours.
Yes, sir.
McClure found it on the deck of that sub down there. When did you lose him, Bell?
I lost him a long time ago, sir. 20 years ago.
How?
I don't remember, sir.
Try, Bell. Try to remember.
I was on a ship.
What ship, Bell?
A submarine. The one below us, sir. That was my boat.
Who's making the noise down there, Bell? What's it all about? Do you know?
We were on the surface. It was night. I was a signal man then. I was supposed to put the infrared filter over the signal lights. Otherwise, they would have seen us. They would have seen the light. They would have found us. I don't know what happened. I was scared, clumsy. I dropped the signal light. The filter fell off. They were waiting for us out there. Japanese destroyers. They saw our light. And it was my fault. They let us have it. They straddled us with the first salvo. The captain took the sub down, but it was too late. They unloaded depth charges. And that sub wasn't ever coming up again.
What about you?
I got flung over the side when the first salvo hit. And all that time I was in the water, I could...
You could what?
I could hear the voices of our guys down below me. They were screaming. I know what it is now. This crazy feeling I've had.
What? What is it, though?
I got out. One guy out of the whole crew. I got picked up later on by one of our destroyers. But I got out. Do you understand, Captain? I sank that sub. I was responsible, but I got out.
Bell, I want you to listen to me.
Those guys down in the sub,
They know I'm up here.
Bell, hear me out.
I should be with them. I should be down in that sub.
Bell.
I should be dead. That noise, that pounding, those are the guys down there who are calling muster on me. They're calling muster on me.
Will you hear me out? Will you listen to just a little logic now? A little reason? No one man sinks a sub, and one lousy circumstance doesn't decide a battle. And one case of sudden fear doesn't add up to a coward. Bell. Bell, you gotta believe me. All you should put in your sea bag is regret, not guilt. Do you understand, Bell? Not guilt.
They're calling muster!
Bell! Come back here!
They're calling muster on me!
Bell! Bell, get away from the rail. Now, that's an order.
They're calling me!
Man overboard! Starboard side! The rescue ship says you got inside.
Yes, sir. It was a wreck. Nobody had a chance.
Nobody?
Nobody, sir. The periscope shears had been cut in half. One section was just hanging there, swinging back and forth.
Then that was the noise. That was the noise, wasn't it?
I guess so, sir, but...
But?
There were 8 men down in that control room. 8 men. Or what was left of them. And one of them had a hammer in his hand.
Let's just say, McClure... Let's just say that this is the part of the story you tell your grandchildren that you make up yourself. Say anything you like, any explanation that comes to mind.
Aye, sir.
It's funny how long it takes some men to die, or to find any peace at all. Sometimes I think that's the worst thing about a war. Not just what it does to the bodies, but what it does to the minds. So, rest in peace, Mr. Bell. I think it's your due now. At long last, rest in peace.
Small naval engagement. The month of July, 1963. Not to be found in any historical annals. Look for this one filed under H for haunting in the Twilight Zone. You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Morning, Mr. Castle.
Hello, Ned. Any mail today?
Got it right here.
Where's my registered letter?
Registered? Oh, I didn't see one.
The one that says I won the Publisher's House sweepstakes.
Oh, well, I'll keep an eye out for it. I entered that one myself.
Instead, I get only bills.
Yeah, the check's in the mail, Mr. Castle. Say, maybe tomorrow, huh?
Maybe. See ya. Another bill, and another, and another. Edna, what about the gas and electric?
What?
The gas and electric bill. How many months is that?
2 months. That's one you'd better pay.
That's the one I can't pay.
Mr. Castle.
How are you, Mrs. Gumley?
Just fine, Mr. Castle.
Good. Glad to hear it.
How have you been?
Oh, can't complain.
Been having a lot of rain, haven't we?
What? Oh, yes. Quite a bit of rain for this time of year.
Well, it's good for the flowers.
How's that?
Good for the flowers. The rain, that is.
Yeah, very good for flowers.
An heirloom today, Mr. Castle.
An heirloom, Mrs. Gumley. You don't say.
Oh, yes, Mr. Castle. Been in my family for years.
Has it now?
Years and years. It's supposed to be very valuable. Hand-blown glass is what it is.
Mrs. Gumley, it's just a plain old glass wine bottle. Do you know what it's worth, actually? Nothing. Not even a deposit. If you could find the store where it came from, that's what they'd give you. Nothing.
I could let it go for a dollar.
Mrs. Gumley, if I could spare a dollar, I'd give it to you. Believe me, I would. But things have been rough here. The pawn shop business isn't what it used to be. I'm so in debt myself.
I see.
Wait a moment.
Yes.
$1 it is, then. I wish it could be more, Mrs. Gumley. I really do.
God bless you, Mr. Castle. I could kiss you.
Stop that now. It's nothing.
You're a wonderful man.
Good luck to you.
And to you.
Better days for all of us.
Mr. Castle, it's not an heirloom, you know. I found it in a garbage can. It's just a dirty old cheap glass bottle. Please, please forgive me for lying to you.
That's all right, Mrs. Gumley. Who knows? Maybe it'll turn out to be an heirloom. We'll just have to wait and see.
Who was that?
No one.
It sounded like Mrs. Gumley. Then I heard the cash register. What did you buy this time?
Edna.
Oh, a bottle. Gorgeous.
She said it was an heirloom.
Is that right?
She has to eat, doesn't she?
And you don't?
That's not the point.
Arthur, we're a couple of weeks away from bankruptcy.
Don't you think I know that?
Then you'd better start rubbing that bottle and pray, Arthur. Pray that a genie appears, because that's about the only hope we have left.
Oh, Edna. Edna, please.
Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, suspended in that brief fragment of time before fate comes out of a bottle. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, gentle and infinitely patient people, whose lives have been a hope chest with a rusty lock and a lost set of keys. But in just a moment, that hope chest will be opened, and an improbable phantom will try to bedeck the drabness of these two people's failure-laden lives with the gold and precious stones of fulfillment. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, standing on the outskirts and about to enter the Twilight Zone.
And now, back to our story from the Twilight Zone, The Man in the Bottle, starring Ed Begley Jr., with Stacy Keach as your narrator.
Here, give me the bottle, straight into the trash with it. If you won't do it, I will.
Wait, it's worth a couple of cents.
A couple of cents, Arthur? A couple of cents? We've got more creditors than we've got cheap watches. You promised me no more handouts.
Look, Edna, maybe all that's left for me is to try and find someone who I can feel sorry for. Can you understand that? I need to feel that I'm doing something of value. Maybe a man can be a failure for only so long, and then it catches up with him.
Arthur, you're not a failure.
Of course I am. Look around you, Edna. In this clutter, you see the legacy of 100 years. My grandfather owned this shop, and it finally broke his heart.
and my father, and it killed him too. The meanness of it, Edna. The shabbiness of it. The hand-to-mouth of it. This isn't just a hock shop where you buy the pitiful little residue of other people's failures. It's a shrine to failure. That's what it is. It's a mausoleum, a burial ground for people's hopes.
Arthur, please don't talk like that.
Edna, what happens to us anyway? What happens to us? Have you ever thought of that? We're not old people, and yet this place is making us old. There should be years ahead of us, years without having to make do, scrimping and counting and picking over checkbooks and budgets and final notices and old bills and...
Careful, Arthur, you're knocking things over.
I don't care about the bottle. I'm trying to explain...
Arthur, what's all that smoke?
I don't know, but it seems to be coming from inside Mrs. Gumley's bottle.
How do you do?
Where did you come from?
From the bottle, of course.
The bottle?
It fell to the floor, the cork popped out, and here I am, at your service.
I'm supposed to buy that. What do you take me for?
Rather than go into any lengthy generic explanation of my existence, suffice it to say that I am here, and I am, in fact, a genie.
In a business suit, with a derby hat and a walking stick. And you expect me to believe that, you're a genie?
That's quite correct.
There's no such thing, except in fairy tales.
On the contrary, I am living proof, in a manner of speaking.
Arthur, who is this man?
You'll have to do better than that, mister. I don't know what you're trying to pull here.
Very well, I'll get right to the point. I can offer you 4 wishes with a guaranteed performance.
4 wishes? Aha! You got that wrong. It's supposed to be 3. In every book I ever read, it was 3 wishes. Better get your story straight.
That's a myth, I'm afraid. Oh, they may have offered only 3 in the beginning. But for some time now, 4 has been the operant number. Some considerable time. It's proven to be the most effective option. Think about it. Too few, and a person may waste the opportunity of a lifetime, so to speak. Too many, and, well, the possibilities can get out of hand. Frivolous, in other words. The opportunities tend to cancel each other out, if you see my point.
You've got your answers down, I'll give you that.
I think I better sit.
Well, Mr. Castle, Mrs. Castle, what do you have in mind?
Arthur, I don't understand. What's happening here?
Don't worry, Edna. The bottom line is he's a con man. He has to be.
But I see him. Don't you?
I don't know what I see. Could be some kind of hypnotist or something. Remember that guy on television? He made an elephant disappear.
Child's play. Smoke and mirrors.
You're telling me you're not a magician?
Nothing of the sort. I grant 4 wishes to the owner and then go back inside the bottle for a century and a day.
100 years. Inside a bottle.
Plus 1 day. A nice touch, don't you agree? Until a summons comes from the next owner.
What if there isn't another owner?
But, my dear fellow, there must be. Consider the span of a man's life. 60 and 10. Isn't that the tradition?
So let's say nobody calls you. Or it's the wrong day.
Ah, you've hit the nail on the head. I've learned to cultivate patience beyond anything you can possibly imagine. All of which means you're extraordinarily lucky today. As am I, in a manner of speaking.
Maybe he's from the lottery.
We didn't play the lottery this week, Edna.
Just as well. The odds are quite unrealistic. What I'm offering you transcends any lottery the world has ever known. They're strictly nickel and dime operations in comparison.
I have to think this over.
Take your time. Interesting shop you have here. Chinese vases, Tiffany lamps, bric-a-brac of every sort. Mostly imitation, of course. No offense. Nonetheless, I have the distinct feeling I've seen some of these items before.
How could you if you haven't been out of the bottle in 100 years?
I meant the originals.
The originals? How old are you?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. Nice silver cigarette case. Faux Victorian, isn't it?
My uncle's. He passed it down from his great uncle, who bought it in Liverpool in 1914.
Is that what he said? How much?
Take it. Get back to the subject. What else about the wishes?
Oh, yes. Now, I think the business at hand is for you and Mrs. Castle to decide the nature of your 4 wishes, keeping in mind, of course, that each wish is irrevocable. Once made, it is fulfilled, and once fulfilled, it is a matter of record. It can only be altered by yet another wish. Clear, Mr. Castle?
Clear enough. I think we'd better call the police.
Why not wish for them? I can bring you Scotland Yard, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or every bobby in the City of London.
That won't be necessary.
Is it the police you want?
No. That's not what we'd wish for.
Arthur, are you out of your mind?
Go ahead, Mr. Castle. You were saying?
Well, if I had a wish...
You believe him?
Just for the sake of argument, let's say that I wanted that broken glass in the case over there. Let's say I wanted it to be fixed.
The glass display case?
Unless that's too hard for you. I broke it cleaning up the other day. One whole side is cracked.
Is that all?
It's too expensive to replace and impossible to glue together. Impossible.
Would you like to make it official, Mr. Kessel?
Arthur, be careful with this man. You don't know what he's after.
Well, Mr. Kessel, is that your wish?
Yes, that is my wish. I want the glass in the case to be repaired.
Very well, then.
Am I dreaming? It's a magic trick. It has to be.
No. You're not dreaming, Edna. I see it, too. It's like new. How did you do that?
Next.
What?
Well, Mr. Castle, you have 3 wishes left.
3 wishes. 3. Edna, 3 wishes. Anything we want. Think, Edna, think. What do we want?
Why, I don't know.
I asked you to think.
I'm frightened.
A new shop, Edna. An expensive shop on 5th Avenue. We could have that just for the asking.
But Arthur...
Or travel. Take trips. We could see the places we could never afford to visit, like Paris or Rome or even the South Seas. We could take a cruise around the world, first class.
Surely there's a catch.
Or money. $100,000. $200,000. $1,000,000. We wouldn't have to grub anymore. We wouldn't have to sit here and waste our lives away.
Arthur, it isn't right. There's something unholy about it.
Clothes, Edna. Expensive clothes. Jewels. A beautiful house. No more worries for the rest of our lives.
Are you sure?
Edna, we don't have to rot away here. We can have anything we want. Anything, Edna. Money.
Money? The simplest of all requests, Mr. Castle.
Simple? For you, maybe.
How much would you like? In what denominations?
Edna, how much do we want?
I don't know. I just don't know.
$1,000,000. That's what we want. $1,000,000.
In what form? Gold? Silver? Of course, there are market fluctuations in precious metals, so there will naturally be an element of risk. Platinum shows the least movement. Diamonds are relatively stable at the moment.
Forget it. Cash only. All negotiable U.S. currency.
Very good. Denominations?
No 50s or 100s. Make it $5 and $10 bills. Recent dates and no counterfeits.
Where would you like it? Savings account or checking? Perhaps a numbered deposit in a Swiss bank.
Right here.
Here?
Where I can see it.
On the floor?
Don't you worry about that. Just bring it here. I'll take care of the rest.
That is your second wish.
You understand English, don't you? That's our wish.
Coming right up. Oh, just one thing.
Aha!
Arthur, I told you.
Do you mind terribly if I...
If what?
If I smoke.
Is that all?
Of course, if you prefer otherwise. I see the no smoking sign on the wall.
No, no. Go right ahead.
Very well. Now then, Mr. Castle, where were we? Ah, yes, I was about to say, ask and you shall receive.
What's that? Where's it coming from?
What is it? It's money. Look at it. A rain of money. Edna, Edna, $1,000,000, Edna. Ha, ha, ha. $1,000,000! There you are, Edna. Champagne.
I think I've had more than enough.
I suppose you're right. How can I work if I have a hangover?
Well, you could take the day off.
Edna, you're a genius. Why didn't I think of that? We both could. Close up the store and...
And what? I wouldn't know what to do, would you?
Well, let's see now. It's a beautiful day. We could take a walk together in the park.
Oh, Arthur, I'd have to get dressed up and I don't have any comfortable shoes.
Or we could go to a restaurant. Any restaurant at all.
But we've already had lunch.
Then we could take in a film downtown or a play, a musical. Do you know how many years it's been since we did that?
And leave all this money out like this? I don't think that would be a good idea.
So, we're prisoners here. We can't go anywhere, do anything, for fear that someone might steal it from under our noses. What good is it?
Oh, Arthur, we can put it in the bank.
That's tomorrow. The bank's closed now. Unless...
What are you thinking?
Call your brother on the telephone. Tell him to come over here. He needs money for his operation, remember?
Oh, I like that idea.
And while you're at it, call Avritin, the butcher, and Mrs. Teola, and the checker at the market.
And that nice girl at the bank.
And the dry cleaner. And here, look in the book. All our old customers, the ones who can't afford to get their valuables out of hock. Call them all, every one.
What will I say?
Tell them we need their help.
It's a miracle, that's what it is.
I couldn't believe it when they called.
Where did they get it all?
They're such wonderful people.
And so generous, too.
Hey, now, what's going on here?
Hello, Officer McLaurin.
The line's halfway down the street.
Yes, it certainly is.
Are they having a fire sale in there, or what?
It's that nice Mr. Castle and his wife.
What about them?
They're redeeming things.
What things?
All kinds of things, as long as you've got your pawn ticket.
Even if you don't, they remember.
They're redeeming us. That's what they're doing. It's the loveliest gesture I've ever seen.
Hi there, Mrs. Gumley. Beautiful day.
Indeed it is.
Your turn, Mrs. Gumley. Go on in.
Hold on. Where'd you get that fistful of money?
Right inside, officer. From Mr. and Mrs. Castle, bless their souls.
What are they doing, running numbers?
Nothing like that. Strictly legit.
You're telling me they gave it to you?
Sure did. Enough to pay off their tab at the butcher shop and then some. Plus the next 10 years in advance.
And whereabouts did they get this bankroll?
Don't ask me. But their ship sure must have come in big time.
The horses, was it? Or the lottery?
I heard it was the sweepstakes that came in the mail.
No, it was their cousin. He died and left them a fortune.
Well, we'll just have to see about that.
They're not breaking any laws.
I haven't had my turn yet. You're not going to arrest them, are you?
Maybe not, but I'll keep a close eye on the situation. In the meantime, I know someone who might be real interested in all this. Don't you people go blocking the sidewalk now.
Here you go, young man. Pay off that mortgage now.
I will.
And then go have yourself a ball, you and your lovely wife.
I don't get it. Why are you doing this?
Do I need a reason? Every time I come in your gas station, you look under the hood.
Oh, that's nothing.
Check the air and the tires, all of it, without my asking. I say that's worth something. It's worth a lot these days.
Well, thanks, Mr. Castle.
Bye now. Who's next?
Mrs. Gumley, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Here, you take this now. I want you to have it.
So much.
Don't you worry about it, Mrs. Gumley. Anything you need, anything at all, you come to us. There's more where that came from. For you, plenty more.
God bless you both.
But why are you giving me this money, Mrs. Castle?
Why? Because you're so bright and cheery every time I'm in the market.
Oh, Mrs. Castle, thank you.
You put this in the bank now for when you get married.
And for you, Mr. Jacks?
And you too, Mrs. Teola. You have a nice day now.
Don't mention it. Buy a round for everybody. On me.
Is that all of them?
Oh, for now. Put the close sign in the window, would you please?
Of course, dear.
Whew. Now that's what I call a day's work.
You did wonderfully well, Arthur. I'm so proud of you.
You know, Edna, I don't care how we spend the rest. I feel so good right now, seeing all those happy faces.
I know.
It would be nice to get away for a while, though.
I agree. Some time in the sun. Nothing fancy.
How much do we have left?
Look in the box. It's still practically full. We didn't put a dent in it.
Your father would be proud.
Rest his soul.
And your grandfather.
Tell me your opinion about something, Edna.
If you like, dear.
I'm wondering, do you suppose I still need to carry on the family business?
Well...
we don't have a son or daughter.
I'd say you've more than done enough, Arthur. All these years.
Even if we did have kids, I'd rather leave them money to start their own business. Something with a future. What about your cousin's children?
Oh, that would be a wonderful present.
And what about you? You've been so patient all these years. What would you like?
Well, first, of course, you're going to retire. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then, wherever you'd like to live, Arthur, as long as we're together.
Of course we'll be together. You think I'm going to take up with a young floozy?
Oh, no, I don't think that. You wouldn't. It's not in your nature. But you're tired. You need to rest.
We both do. Rest and live. Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Castle.
Do I know you? Let me see. Harry Joy's son.
I don't believe we've met before.
Wait. Stu Wintner's nephew. That's it.
Not quite.
Are you from the life insurance company? Because if you are, we've got your payment right here. Just let me count it out for you.
In cash. Is that all right?
That's not necessary.
Or we could write you a check just as soon as we make a deposit.
And quite a deposit it will be, by the looks of all this.
I told you, Arthur, we should have put it away.
Let me give you my card.
Internal Revenue Service.
That's correct. There's a matter of an income tax, Mr. Castle.
You just send us the bill and we'll pay it. But send the bill in a hurry, would you please? My wife and I will be taking off for Europe very shortly.
Oh, could we?
Consider it done. Where would you like to go first? The Eiffel Tower, an African safari, waltzing in Vienna, perhaps?
Dancing? We haven't been dancing since I don't remember.
Dependents? Just a few details for the record.
Ask away. We have nothing to hide.
How many dependents can you claim?
The whole neighborhood.
They don't count.
Wait. What's that figure? The one you just wrote down?
Beginning with a sum of $1 million, taxed on the basis of a husband and wife, using the standard deductions and taking into account unpaid back taxes, approximately $907,000.
That's how much I have left? Good. Fabulous.
That's how much you owe the government.
I beg your pardon?
In addition, there's a state income tax involved, which, using thumb rule, would come to a rough figure of $35,000.
You mean hundreds, don't you?
Then there will be a matter of a 5% penalty.
For what?
If you fail to file a declaration within 30 days of today's date, but I'm sure you won't let that happen... the whole thing will amount to about, roughly, mind you, let's see here, $942,640.
Arthur, we've given away a lot of money already.
I'll figure out how much.
Fill out this form and send it to us with your check. It should be self-explanatory. If you want to use the installment plan, we'll send you a statement after your records have been analyzed. Mr. Castle?
Yeah. Yeah. Send us the bill.
We'll be seeing you. Good evening to you, Mrs. Castle.
I wonder if we can appeal it.
Help me, Edna. You take this pile. 76, 77, 78...
Oh, Arthur, where's the genie when we need him? Well, how much is there?
$910,535. $910,540. We gave away almost $60,000. And this goes to taxes, leaving us with this. One $5 bill. That's our entire profit, Edna. $5 whole.
That was quite a wish, Arthur. Quite a wish. And we haven't even paid the bills yet.
If you'll recall, it was my suggestion that you reflect very carefully, Mr. Castle. Very, very carefully.
Now he shows up.
Had you made a wish that took into account the taxes involved...
Look, you, plenty of sweet talk and promises in the whole thing. And all the time, you're nothing but a con artist, after all. This time I want the $1 million, but I want it after...
Arthur, no more money. You've got to wish for something else.
Oh, something else, then. A new store. A chain of stores.
They could burn down 1 hour after we get them.
Success?
Be careful, Mr. Castle. Success is a pretty broad term.
He's right. You can't wish for success. I've got it. How about 10 more wishes? Or 20, or...
Very clever, Mrs. Castle, wishing for more wishes. But I'm afraid that isn't permitted. Frankly, I'd be afraid to have you try for fear of the consequences.
What consequences?
Why do you have to keep losing your temper? Why can't you think about this thing carefully and then come up with
You're no help to me, that's for sure. Here we stand in the middle of this crummy little pawn shop with a whole world out in front of us and anything to wish for that we want. Anything. And you just stay on my back and...
Stop it! This doesn't sound like you. Not like the man I married. Not at all.
Edna, what's happening to us? What's really going on here?
Oddly enough, this is the normal pattern that seems to be generally followed. Great excitement, great emotionalism, and strangely enough, hard to believe though it may be, only a modicum of happiness.
Well, you've got cheap customers here. Our price is no longer so high. We're people who haven't had much happiness. People who've carried a crummy hawk shop on their backs all their lives. What, Edna? Tell me, what do we wish for?
I don't know, Arthur. I just don't know.
What about it? What can I wish for now? What can come to me without tricks?
Without tricks? I question the semantics here, Mr. Castle. There are no tricks involved. There are simply normal and understandable outgrowths and conditions that go with any windfall. No matter what you wish for, you must be prepared for the consequences.
What sort of consequences?
Nothing more than cause and effect. Consider, for example, what happens when you throw a stone into a lake. The stone sends out ripples in the water. After a while, these ripples reach the shore. The bigger the stone, the bigger the ripples. And if the stone is large enough, you'll get a wave of water, even a tidal wave that could sweep you off your feet. It all depends on how much you disturb the way things were to begin with. Now do you see what I mean about consequences?
That I need something without consequences.
I'm not sure that's entirely possible.
Something dead sure, at least. Something anchored, something airtight.
I must agree, that would be the ticket.
Is there such a thing?
Sit down now, you'll give yourself a heart attack.
Edna, I think I've got it. I think I know what it is.
What, Arthur?
Power, Edna. Power, prerogatives. To be in charge of something, to be a boss, to be a leader, with respect and the freedom to live as one likes. We could wish for that.
Possible. Very possible. President of a corporation? That sort of thing?
We could be sued, go bankrupt.
Warden of a prison.
That's idiotic.
Mayor of a city.
We could get voted out of office, and then what?
Wait a minute. I know what. Head of a country. Ruler of a whole country, that's it.
Who can't be voted out of office?
What about it, Jeannie? I want to be the head of a country who can't be voted out of office.
Is that your wish? Do you want to be more specific than that?
Hold on. Let me give it to you this way. I want to be the head of a foreign country who can't be voted out of office. But it must be a major country, well-known, not some poverty-stricken third-world place, and not in ancient times either, in modern history.
How do you define modern?
Within my lifetime, and developed. A fully industrialized country, with millions of educated people, where I'm very popular and can't be voted out of office.
No problem.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
I mean, what about the consequences?
Consequences, Mr. Castle, I've already told you. You run the risk of consequences no matter what you wish for, like the ripples in a stream. There's no predicting, at least not with absolute certainty, where they lead.
All right, then.
Go ahead, Arthur. Wish for that. The thing you said.
I want to be the head of a foreign country, just as I've described it. Now it's your turn, Jeannie. Take over.
As you wish, Mr. Castle. As you wish.
You'll forgive me, sir.
Yes?
I have not slept in 3 nights now, but the situation is as I described. The 1st Ukrainian army has cut us off from the south. There's no sign of Vink's reserve army. There is no reserve army. We are simply doomed. There is no hope for us. From now on, it is just a mass suicide. Did you hear what I said? They are already in Berlin? What about it, Führer?
Führer?
What do you want to do?
Why do you call me that name?
Here is what you asked for. Very quick and very painless, mein Führer. And we have the gasoline for you and Miss Braun. When you're finished...
Head of a country can't be voted out of office. It's the end of the war and I'm in a bunker and I'm...
Heil Hitler!
It's almost the end.
I've given them the poison. We'll take their bodies out into the courtyard and burn them when it's finished. Have the gasoline ready.
I won't take the poison. I wish I were back where it all started. I wish I were Arthur Castle again.
Oh, Arthur, you've broken it.
What? Broken what?
The bottle Mrs. Gumley brought in.
Why, I have, haven't I? Not poison, and an old wine bottle.
Let me sweep it up for you.
I can do it.
It had no value anyway.
No, no value at all. I'm here. My final wish. I'm really here now. Where is he?
Where is who?
You know who I mean.
And why would he be here? You've had your 4 wishes, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess I'm a 4-time loser. What do you expect? I just wish he doesn't come back. I wish...
There you go, wishing again.
Right. Why should I? Why did I? Look at what we have here, Edna. We have a business that's been in my family for 3 generations.
And each other. We have each other.
I'm going to stop wishing for a while. You know, Edna, I can't afford a brand new life.
Neither can I.
I think I'll just give the old one a new paint job.
You know something, Arthur? I think that's a very good idea.
What is it?
Look, your 1st wish, the glass case, it's not broken. It's still repaired.
So we came out ahead after all. Nothing's ever a complete loss, is it?
Careful, Arthur, with the broom handle.
Well, we were ahead.
Now you have more glass to clean up.
You know something? I don't mind cleaning up any of it. Not at all. In fact, not at all.
A poet named Lowell said it. Something to the effect that granting our wish is one of fate's saddest jokes. Lesson to be learned out of a few fragments of broken glass in a trash can. And a word to the wise, to the garbage collectors of the world, to the curio seekers, to the antique buffs, to everyone who would try to coax a miracle from unlikely places. Check the bottle you're taking back for that deposit, because the genie you save might be your own. Case in point, Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, fresh from the briefest of trips into the Twilight Zone.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what I'm doing, I ask you to please subscribe to my channel or channels. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.